we were just going, we all hate each other. We hate our home life because it's all about, will so-and-so get his homework done? And then the other kids need attention too, but we're there, one of us trading off for 2 hours. Who keeps a kid 2 hours at the, anyway? Our family life changed 100% because we gave up.
Welcome to The Lisa Show, where we take a good look at life. Hey, it's Lisa. This is The Lisa Show, and I actually had a totally different idea for how we were going to start this episode. But then, well, the thing I'm about to tell you about just happened, and it's just too relevant to our topic not to share. So here we are. The other night, I'm in bed reading my book, trying to calm my anxious mind and go to sleep. And I am blessed with a sudden reappearance by my teenagers at home. But it's not like, hey, mom, what's up? Or is this a good time? Or let me tell you about my day. No, this was more of a, mom, I need this stuff. I'm going to take it out and I'll get the other stuff later. Followed by a, yeah, I'm moving out tonight. Yeah, I'm sleeping there tonight. You don't have to do anything. Don't help me. Don't help me. I had no warning. I didn't know my baby was planning on moving out, and I guess I had just failed to assume that it would happen at 10:45 at night. But not to worry, you guys, they had everything under control. I didn't need to worry about them moving stuff out of their bedroom because they weren't taking it. Instead, my guest room, which had a larger bed with a new mattress, throw pillows, and the matching bedding set, was moved all in one piece, like fitted sheet attached to the waiting moving truck outside. It really happened so fast. Today, we're talking about peace and self-love and a little bit about expectations. You also heard the voice of my friend Steve at the beginning talking about giving up. And that's a whole thing. We'll get into that. But we're starting with peace. How to protect it, get it back, or claw it from the fingers of life's chaos. You can choose which scenario fits you best. I won't say mine. And as we dive in, I just want to give a big shout out to the person on YouTube whose username is amazing. It's Destruction Aesthetics, who commented on our video about letting kids fail. They said, oddly, this is so helpful for me to learn. You so often hold yourself back because you're afraid of failure, telling yourself you're not ever allowed to fail, telling yourself you have to be perfect to be good enough. You've got to fail and learn. It doesn't make you worthless. So that is such a good takeaway and a reminder. And I really wanted to thank you, Destruction Aesthetics, for sharing that on YouTube. Thank you. It's just kind of the perfect segue, too, because letting kids fail and letting yourself fail, it brings up all the emotions, oof, which so often get in the way of peace, peace. I've invited a local expert in on this, and by that, I mean my friend Haley Smith, someone who is so happy and joyful that it might come as a surprise that she's been through a lot of chaos in her life, and she's really refined her personal method of finding peace in any circumstance. She's also just super cool, and life is always better with a friend. When I first met you 100 years ago, I was like, we always joke because I'm like, you were so standoffish. And I was like, she's just that, you know, gorgeous girl who, she's what a snob gosh. Because she's so much better than me. Well, first of all, you are better than me. But second of all, I didn't know that what of an introvert you are.
Yes, for sure. And I'm not always the best in social situations. I experience a level of social anxiety that's sometimes worse than others, and it's manageable. But I have been in situations where I do or say something really weird, and then I just think about it forever. But if you can get a good story out of it, yeah. Then it's worth it.
So that's Haley. And for reference, this is the person I text when I fail or I'm trying to let my kids fail and it's just not going well. And we have this conversation all of the time. I just have to let you know. We also have it so often that we have a motto to go with it. So we'll confess that we did something awkward or embarrassing again, and life doesn't go the way we thought it would or the way that, you know, you would present it on social media or something, and then the other one will say, that's showbiz, baby. But there's a hand motion that goes with it, too. You have to be holding a fake, like, long, cartoonishly long cigarette holder with a long cigarette. Think like old Hollywood Audrey Hepburn in Breakfast at Tiffany's. And, like, you're just taking it out of your mouth and you're saying, that's showbiz, baby. Like, what are you gonna do? Listen. We love a good catchphrase. And Haley actually has another one, too, a phrase that I picked up from her years ago. And you're going to need this for when she explains how she finds peace. It's a little shorthand we call love at a 10 or loving at a 10.
Okay, so loving at a 10, I first heard from a friend of mine, a close friend of mine. She was speaking after, not long after her mother had passed away. And she talked about her mother and she talked about how her mother always loved at a 10. And I kind of perked my ears up. I was like, I've never heard this before. What does that mean? And she said that no matter what came her way, you know, whether it was positive or negative, she would just choose to love everything at a 10. And the example she gave, she said, like she would say when she was driving and she was needed to get somewhere to do something, she would like love all the stoplights at a 10 so that they would change to green when she needed them to. And she's like, it always works. And so I think it's kind of like another way of saying like putting out all this positive, like loving energy into the universe. But then for me, it's also just become more personal as to like how I want to approach all of my relationships and all of the people in my life, whether I'm really close to them already or whether I'm needing to get there.
Oh, I love that. It's especially easy, I think, with a spouse and with your kids and your close friends, just to be like, I'm gonna love them at a 10, and I'm gonna give them the benefit of the doubt, and I'm never gonna let them guess if like is. You know, does she love me or not? Nope, they'll never be. When you're love at a 10, there's no question, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's also, too, like how you approach things, like friendships or get-togethers. Like, no one questions if Haley and I are, like, at a party or doing improv that if we're not glad to be there. We are at a 10. And we're just telling everyone, I love you so much. I love you. And that's how we approach life. And you can tell when people are, like, too cool for school and they, love at a 5, like, if it's convenient for them or, you know what I mean? Like, well, oh, do you love me? Okay, well, then I'll say I kind of like you or whatever. Like, I don't have time for that anymore.
Or some people maybe want to. They just haven't, like, learned the vocabulary for it or, like, what that looks like, you know? So to just, and it's really just being vulnerable and not caring. And it is hard. It is something I think. It's like a muscle. You have to work on it. You have to strengthen it.
It's kind of wearing your heart on your sleeve a little bit, too.
It is. And you can get hurt. And we do. And it's okay. It's okay.
It's okay. And that's just what you have to tell yourself to love at a 10, that it's okay. Everything is fine. You can buy new guest room furniture. Your young adult doesn't want a precious mother-son moment. Even if you imagined that you were running to Target hand in hand, picking out the perfect color of a new towel for their new adventure, they don't know that's in your head. It's fine. They really do have all the towels and forks and dishwasher soap they need, and it's gonna be okay. I mean, what I'm really saying is, that's showbiz, baby. And while I'm partially joking, this concept is actually really one I love, especially the idea of love being a muscle that takes work to develop and keep in shape. And you just practice by doing little things every day. And I guess I shouldn't be surprised that those same principles apply to self-love. But as Haley discovered, this is where peace becomes so important.
Something I've been thinking a lot about is, what does it look like to love myself at a 10? And for me, the advice I would give to myself and to others is to protect your peace. As I've gotten older, like finding calm and peace in my life, like anytime I can, has become really important. I grew up in a really highly charged, tense atmosphere. And I think, and I didn't really know anything else. And I think I kind of maybe carried some of that into my young adulthood, you know, this certain level of anxiety or not knowing how to calm myself or be chill, as it were, you know, be going into college and being a young mom and that sort of thing. But the older I get, the more I realize I just crave this kind of zen state that I'm always looking for. And so, and I think that that is, you know, definitely a way to show self-love to yourself, to protect your peace. And it looks like not only like just daily rituals that I try to do that really set me up for success for the rest of my day. Like I like to do crossword puzzles in the morning with my husband. I really like to work out in the morning, just little rituals and routines that set me up. Not only those things, but I feel like there's a lot of things, other things that we can kind of manage in order to achieve the best results as far as like having that calm, peaceful state. A lot of things are out of our control.
Yeah.
And things will happen and there's, you know, nothing we can do. And I think that that is definitely a challenge to be able to, you know, in those times I try to do different types of breathing or meditation or whatever it takes, and also to acknowledge that I can't, you know, control things that are out of my control. And so you kind of have to give it up to a higher power or the universe or whatever helps for you.
And as Haley and I were talking about what you can control and what you can't, how you can implement routines and self-care that promote peace, and how sometimes protecting your peace is a triage effort because of all the things that you can't necessarily plan for, we ran into something that doesn't fall neatly into either category, and that's expectations.
It wasn't too long ago where I heard the expression that expectations are just resentments waiting to happen.
Ooh.
And that
that makes me feel uncomfortable.
And that was my motto for so long. I was like, okay. So I was really into managing my expectations. And I think this is just another way of doing that, right? Because not to say like, obviously, okay, say you have a small child and they're coming to you and they're being really annoying and or whatever. You're not just going to be like, go away. I'm trying to protect my peace. Like, that doesn't work. You can't do that. But it's like, how do you like listen to them and take on their issue and still then do the work, you know, to still feel joy in whatever it is, you know, after having experienced that conversation or after having experienced that moment. And for sure, it has to do with expectations. Like, when I built my life around expectations and all my kids were going to do this and this and this, and then they're doing like none of those things or the very opposite, then all of a sudden, yeah, if I'm holding myself to those expectations, this is like worst case scenario. My life is the worst. How could I ever be happy again? That's a terrible way to live, in my opinion.
Hasn't everybody been here at some point? Like, I honestly don't think any of us, especially parents like in Haley's example, have our expectations intact that we started out with. You just can't do it. But adjusting your expectations before life forces you to, doing it intentionally is really hard. There's no manual for that. And that's what I love about Haley's wisdom here, is that it's not just accept your new reality. It's accept your new reality with a mission to love at a 10. That's how you do it. It's not just whatever happens, whatever you choose, I don't care, I'm not supposed to have an opinion about anything. It's saying accept the reality as it is with that mission that your focus with that relationship, whatever relationship it is focused on love. And it has the intent on the person and not on an idea of a person.
So of course I'm always going to dream and have expectations and have these like wonderful hopes. But I think what it is when you're faced with a different reality than what your expectation was, happiness comes from accepting that reality and working within that reality and loving out of 10, I guess, you know, like,
yeah.
If my child has made some terrible choices and they are experiencing pain and heartache and it's not what I wish would have wished for them, I just focus on the individual, you know, and mm-hmm. I'm not going to sit there and be like, oh, if only they had done this and say that to them. You know, that doesn't help anybody, you know, but if I'm just like, I care about you and you as a person and where you're at now, and that we can still find the positive in this. We can still find the joy in this. There's been things where I did not expect and they happened and it was not what I wanted and it some of the best things that could have happened. It's the best case scenario for me or my family.
Going from the worst case scenario to the best is a dramatic shift, and it's not easy. Remember, there's other people involved. So I agree with Haley that loving at a 10 can help keep our minds focused on the real person and relationship in front of us and not the expectation, met or unmet. But as we move forward in life, there's a lot of change happening. So our attitudes and relationships are constantly changing as well. So how do we adjust our expectations when we're confronted with the reality of a worst case scenario? As I was thinking about this idea, it reminded me of a story from another friend of mine who had to do something just like this. This is Steve Cap Perry, my colleague. He hosts In Good Faith on BYU Radio. It's really great. You should check it out. And he's also my dear friend.
Sometimes your kids just do something well, and you think, I must be really good at this. But you find out it wasn't you. You had nothing to do with it. And then...
Bless our hearts when we think those moments.
We're so cute when we do that.
We are adorable.
And then you have another child who is completely different. And you think, oh, well, I did all the same things. Why are we in this situation? So we have four kids. And one of them has mild Tourette's, obsessive compulsive disorder, OCD, and social anxiety. The last two of those, really big. And so we had to totally redo our way of doing our family because we were starting to not like each other at our house. And because we were being the homework police to help him do all his assignments, get him in. He didn't care about it. But there were also things like one of his obsessive compulsive moments was to go back in his handwriting and retrace any round letters like an O or a lowercase d. You can picture that in your mind. And go back until actually he had circled through the paper. There were holes in the paper. So that was just slowing everything down. And then finally, one of the teachers sort of suggested he might be a little mentally slow. And we said, would you let him type his next assignment? And she rolled her eyes, but she did. And then she told us that he types 90 words a minute with no mistakes.
Holy cow.
And it was like, okay, we have to find a different way of doing everything with him.
Yeah.
Because her eyes were opened. And then so we got accommodations at the school for he has a computer to do his written assignments. And so mostly it worked out, but, you know, we're dealing with human beings. So I get a call. Mr. Perry, can you come to the principal's office? Your son is here. And I was in the middle of a project, a creative project. I thought, will I even remember what I'm? Anyway, all these frustrations. And I'm in the car. I've got about a mile and a half drive. And I'm thinking, oh, why does this always happen? I was full of anxiety. Now I have to go face other grown-ups who think I'm doing a bad job. That hit me. And that one day something changed on my drive. I felt it change in me, which is, this is not a problem. This is your great blessing that you get to be his advocate because nobody understands. And they're so busy, they don't even want to take time. So they wanted an apology for a particular substitute teacher who hadn't looked over the accommodations, was mad at him, and actually had called the resource officer, i.e., a police officer, to take this junior high kid down, you know?
Are you kidding?
Last minute, things worked out that didn't actually happen, but they wanted him to write an apology. And all of this stuff, and I sat there in a whole different place rather than in the past where I'd been saying, can you work with the teachers? You know, I know it's a little hard to make the transitions quickly.
If you just do it, just complete the assignment. I'm only... Like, I've said these things, and I'm feeling it.
Because we're on teacher sides.
Right. Like, I used to be a teacher.
My wife is a teacher.
They're working so hard. Just give them, meet them halfway. And you don't realize what it is you're asking.
So the principal says, well, he'll need to write an apology. And I sat there, And I said, he will not be writing an apology for your failure to meet his accommodations, which are legally mandated.
Ooh, good for you. That's really clear communication.
I was feeling very clear at the moment.
Like, I'm impressed.
And I said, will he be getting a letter of apology from the people who did not meet those accommodations? So we go on. We're still being the homework police. But I have a different view of everything. And my wife and I were talking one night because we were just going, we all hate each other. We hate our home life because it's all about, will so-and-so get his homework done? And then the other kids need attention too, but we're there, one of us trading off for 2 hours. Who keeps a kid 2 hours at the, anyway? There was this great neighbor lady. She was like the sage wisdom woman of the neighborhood, Marianne. And my wife came home once after hearing her talk, and she said, Marianne, how do you do it? And she said, oh, it has been so much easier since we gave up. And I'm thinking, you have 8 kids. What do you mean you gave up? You're clothing them.
Oh,
you're,
I need
you're
to meet
feeding
this woman.
Them. Oh, she's really great, and she's a good cook too. And so I said, well, what does that mean for us? And we sat there and we looked at each other across this blank homework page. Our son had taken a break. We said, you know, just go play, go do something for a minute. And we said, are we giving up? And then we looked at each other like, let's quantify this. We are officially giving up on him succeeding in school, right? This is the beginning of his junior year of high school.
Wow.
And we looked at each other and we nodded and we said, yes, we are giving up on school with him. So he still went to school. He did no homework because we wanted him to go because he had friends there. He needed medication even to be in the halls because there was so much noise in a high school when you're changing classes. Our family life changed 100% because we gave up. I mean, we still wanted him to learn, and we would ask, what did you talk about in school? But it was a whole different thing. And actually was a huge blessing for us to have to reevaluate what is a successful life. Because our other kids just sort of accidentally got A's because they were paying attention and, you know, just they were into the reading and this stuff. And so this child is just as smart, but in a whole different way. And we just thought they don't have to be the same. They don't all need a scholarship. They don't. And I think we started to love each other more
at our house. That's what I want to hear about.
And we had peace. And sometimes a teacher would say, well, what are you guys doing? And we would think, we're doing fine.
Yeah.
It was my answer. Not we're doing this or that. We're doing fine.
Yeah, thanks for asking.
And we were doing fine, finally. There was a huge change in our house. First of all, we liked each other because it wasn't like, oh, no, here's that person again. Or me thinking, oh, no, there's that child again for whom I will now be responsible for ours. And I think there was much more love in our home because I think it wasn't conditional. We weren't thinking we had conditional love, but we felt like we were, I think unconsciously, had to show some disapproval to motivate this child to do the thing he was never going to be able to do. And we let go of that. And really, I think that's when we all decided that, you know, we love each other in our house. I love that idea of love 100%, or what was the phrase?
Love it at 10.
Love it at 10. Mm-hmm. Because if nothing else, this child absolutely knows that we are behind him, we will support him, and we love him.
And isn't that a parent's job?
It is. I mean, we love it when we get the hugs and the pats on the back. He can't do that. Sometimes he'll walk through a room if we're sitting at a table and there's this tiny little shoulder rub. And I say, okay, that for the next 6 months is my I love you. Because I know what he means, and he probably had to really push himself to make physical contact with me. And so it's just a different world, but I'm glad I'm part of that world. And I would not change a thing because of what it means for me to have him in my world.
I think the way Steve ends that story, I wouldn't change a thing, reveals so much about the peace he has now. And to get there, he had to not only adjust his own expectations, but let go of other people's. That's also hard to do. It takes a lot of courage to acknowledge when you're using someone else's meter stick to measure your own life. But like Steve noticed, sometimes those expectations, whether we realize it or not, start imposing conditions on love, which was always meant to be unconditional. There's something really relieving about the way protecting your peace means going from that place of anxiety and frustration to not needing things to change in order to feel okay, no matter how chaotic life may be at that moment. It's possible to get to feeling grateful and loving life just as it is, even when all the things that have always been out of your control stay out of your control. Everyone's flavor of this is a little bit different, and Haley pointed out that it looks different even just between the two of us.
Right? Because if you, as a person, Lisa, have gone through so much grief and pain and sadness, then like the opposite of like this proactive choosing joy is really telling, you know, or me who's like just been full of like anxiety and like high strung, you know, people and all these things, it's like really telling for me to be like, peace, calm, you know, it's like we are choosing, we've already experienced this one extreme and we know, okay, this isn't sustainable. We can't live our lives in this. So we have to find our way out by going in the opposite direction. It's the only answer.
When you talk about loving at a 10 and not like shrinking back and that is your like antidote for meeting expectations, that doesn't just resonate with me, but that just like, it makes my heart leap a little bit. Because I think our instinct is that when our expectations aren't met and we're experiencing a disappointment or a grief or a pain in any way, our instinct is to retreat into ourselves and to isolate, because it's easier just to protect ourselves and sort of lick our wounds and regroup. But loving at a 10 requires you to be outward facing, to connect with other people, to engage, and to be vulnerable. Again, when you feel the most vulnerable, like it's so easy to say, oh yeah, and Haley loves at a 10 or whatever, but it's, I want to say, no, Haley loves it at 10. Do you realize what a risk that is for her? Do you realize how brave she is to say of like, you hurt me or like, I feel hurt by the situation, whatever it is, but I love you and I'm engaged in this and I want to connect with you. And I think that there is something really beautiful about that that can be easily brushed aside. How did you come to learn that that was the most powerful component of a happy life?
I think just I've been a very anxious person for a while. And us Gen Xers, we didn't always seek therapy. We're just like, I got this. Like, and I think it's great that a lot of people
It wasn't even
are.
An option.
No. It just wasn't the thing, you know? And I love that people are just kind of discovering that. And for me, my daughter would go to her therapist and they'd be like, tell me, what did you learn?
Tell like, me everything.
Without her telling me. But she would give me like some good pointers, like, you know, without going into it. And I was like, that's so interesting. But it just being a really anxious person, but always wanting to, you know, choose joy and choose happiness. And I'm an incurable optimist for sure. So when you have that like optimism butting up against this incurable anxiety at times, you're like, oh, which one is going to win out? And so I think it was just really, it's just been really important for me to learn like almost, I guess protecting your peace is another way of saying, like, who cares?
You know, isn't that funny? It's like a different sort of mantra.
Yeah.
Protecting your peace also sounds much more of a printable slogan than who cares?
Who really cares?
Although less on brand for Gen Z.
True.
You know, I haven't asked Haley for the rights to this t-shirt design. I'm still thinking about that, so stay tuned. In the meantime, now that I have had a couple of days to reflect on my son moving out, I've realized a couple of things. We did have conversations about him moving out. I'd advised him on the lease. He asked me if he could take the guest room furniture, and we talked about what would work and what wouldn't work. What I realized was that I had expectations. I don't know why I do this to myself. I had in my head that I was going to present him with this basket of fresh linens that I had bought at Target with fluffy new towels and cleaning supplies that teenage boys don't want to, you know, buy, and cleaner and disinfectant wipes, and that I was going to have it all there together and hand it to him and say, you know, good luck. This is going to be so great. I'm going to miss you, but I'm really proud of you. You know, we were going to have this moment. At the time, it just felt like chaos. It just wasn't happening how I thought it would. It just felt really fast and unexpected. And after my brain was able to calm down and think about it, I thought, I just had this expectation that was unspoken in my mind that I didn't even know I had until it wasn't met. And that's just part of the process. So this idea of having expectations and protecting your peace, loving at a 10, these are all things that you have to actively work at, because things like teenagers, chaos, cortisol, anxiety, expectations are all involved. So it's a mind game. But like anything, you just have to practice. But I keep thinking back to Steve's story and Haley's advice that this process of loving yourself at a 10, protecting your peace, adjusting your expectations, it starts as a function of self-love, right? Or at least self-preservation. We need peace. And the more out of control our lives feel, the more desperately we need to feel it. But in pursuing that peace, we end up removing the barriers to our ability to love other people at a 10. In other words, loving ourselves, protecting our peace, actually makes us better at loving other people, and vice versa. Win, win, win. Protect your peace. I mean, that's showbiz, baby.
The Lisa Show is a production of BYU Radio, hosted by Lisa Valentine Clark. This episode was produced by Becca Hurley with help from Erica Price and Blake Morse. You can find Haley on Instagram at Haley Jo Smith. And be sure to check out the In Good Faith podcast, hosted by Stephen Cat Perry. We'll link to it in our show notes. If you haven't subscribed to The Lisa Show on YouTube, you can find even more content on our channel, including The Council of Moms, filmed live in our studio. As always, thanks for your messages. We read them all. And thanks for listening.
I would like to introduce you to another gem of a show from the BYU Radio family of podcasts, In Good Faith. Dive into an enriching world of spiritual exploration with Stephen Cat Perry. On each episode of In Good Faith, members of different religions and spiritualities are interviewed to better understand their relationship with the divine. Whether you wish to strengthen your own relationship or just listen to thoughtful conversations about religion, In Good Faith is sure to uplift and enrich your life. Listen to In Good Faith wherever you get your podcasts.